Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to grand final week of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Hopefully, you're all in a grand final this week. Hopefully, if you've got trades, because you might need them, because there are more injuries, more suspensions, more importantly. The carnage is all sort of bottled up at the end of the year. So, I guess there's a lesson for next year, Dano.
Yeah. Now, I'm fucking fuming because I lost our final to get into the Supercoach Co-Captains head-to-head league, but understandably, I lost to this week's group winner, and that was Tate with his team, the replacements. Paddo, what was his score and who did he have?
So Tate had a massive 2,641, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
That was a round 23 rank of 326, and he has an overall rank of 376. So I have no doubt that Tato would be absolutely ecstatic with that rank.
Fuck.
Pardon?
I'm saying, fuck you, Tate. Fuck you.
He's got a problem, though, because he has at least one donut that I can see so far, and that is Mr. Dan Houston, who we will reference very soon. But, in defense, he had Humphreys come on for a 105, Dono. Now, that was clutch points. Like, he's one of us. He's one of us getting out that score when he knew everyone needed him because of Sheasel missing, and he delivered. So, good on you, Humphreys. But the only one that failed him in the defense line was Luke Ryan with a 68. So bit all over the place, Luke Ryan, to end out the year. Massive VC captain from Zach Butters, who was absolutely incredible in the showdown, Dano. Now, that game was unbelievable, by the way. Really, really good footy until, anyway. Dan Houston.
He has a problem.
But Houston has a big problem. Showdowns were always absolute must-watch footy, so that was a nice way to spend. Was that Saturday night? Whatever night that was. Bontempelli, Tom Green, Lockie Neal, Caleb Sarong, pretty standards in the midfield there, Connor Rosie as well. But Jordan Dawson was a bit of a POD for Tate there, delivering with a 143. Been a bit up and down this season, but delivering the showdown. And Josh Dunkley, 108, nice Mr. Consistent, I reckon, is a big consideration for next year, Dano, if only for the consistency and the fact that you know probably not get tagged. So anyway, I'm already on next year. I've been for a month, but
I'm looking at some people next year too. And like we said, Paddo, in the midfield especially, there's a lot of discounts.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see which way people go with that one. Gaundy in the ruck line, Dano. Now we're going to talk about the ruck line soon. Pretty underwhelming scores from those two pretty sore boys for the end of the year. So not the best line, but Tato's team is so strong that it didn't matter. Flanders, Zorko, Heaney, I mean, everyone has them, so it's not a problem. His other three forwards, Dylan Moore with a 139, of course, against Richmond. Jai Caldwell, 102, and Luke Jackson, 84. So a really nice team there, Tato. Hopefully you can avoid the incoming donuts.
Yeah, and it is group grand final week, so we will discuss the group grand finalists, Paddo, so I'll quickly jump into it now. To start with, we will go to Supercoach Co-Captains League 1. So we saw Tom's team waltz his weapons. They beat That'll Do Dunkley, and Michael is the team owner there. 2,396 beat 2,342. So Tom goes into the Supercoach Co-Captain League 1 Grand Final. And not surprisingly, after I just said it, Tate's the replacements with a massive 2,641. Beat my team. I done got a boner, 2,434. If I'd have played any of the other two fucking teams I was in, Paddo. So, but that's how head-to-head goes. It's just luck of the draw there.
So, yeah, absolutely. I just want to go over something quickly there, Dana. I'm looking at Waltz's weapons, who is Tate's opponent for the grand final. He also has Sheasel, but he's covering him with Zach Fisher. So bit lucky there. I'm assuming he's out of trades because he copped an English donut. for this week. Now, unless Kieran Strawn miraculously comes in for Adelaide, then he will have that donut this week. He's also got James Peatling on field. The role does not look good with Kelly and Cornelio back there, Dano. Interesting, like the grand final matchup will be against a couple of guys with donuts. Waltzy's weapons also has Chad Warner on the bench, so if he can get up, it might be okay.
I can see. Well, Tate might have two donuts, so actually, Tate might end up playing with two donuts, so it could even it out. At the moment, I'd say Tate's team's probably the one to be the favorite, but if he gets those two donuts, it evens it out, yeah. So we'll move over to Supercoach Co-Captains League 2. And in that one, we had number one ranked team in that was Daniel's team Export. They got 2,431, beating Sully's Superstars 2,303. Team is owned there by Nathan. So Daniel goes and his team Export go straight into the grand final. And then the team that I was hoping would win, Ben's team Bonaball, got 2,555. Beat Josh's team Rough Pies 2,522. That's a close one, Paddo. And so Ben and his team Bonaball go into the grand final. So it'll be Daniel's team Export versus Ben's team Bonaball. Now, just having a quick squeeze. And Export has both Sheasel and Houston.
I just want to say, though,
no Dave, cover.
No, I want to say Export either doesn't have Supercoach Plus or doesn't know that there's a button to fix this. They could have covered the donut and got Frazier on field, which would have been a massive score. It would have been 2-4-3 plus 136.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are listening, Daniel, hit the auto button from Supercoach Plus and it will fix your team. Yeah, the optimized button. It will move Will Dawson into your forward line and Frazier into your defense line. And, oh no, Frazier's forward mid. Yeah, don't mind.
He's stuck.
Don't mind me. He's playing halfback.
But anyway, so we've got a double donut there in defense, unless Ari Shoemaker comes out of nowhere and plays.
It says no for them. But in saying that, Comben went down, so Will Dawson might be a chance.
Cheeky shout, though. Caleb Daniel for 194K sitting on that bench there.
I just don't want him to get another 100 odd because it means his price goes up for next year.
Yeah, true that. And then we go, oh, fuck. Bonaball. Also has the double donut. They got Jeremy McGovern, Dan Houston.
No, they've got triple donut.
That's a double donut in defense. True. That's what I'm looking at. And then they can they can't even cover that. Fuck that shit. So double donut in defense. Forward line seems fine. They have cover if. Oh no, they could get another donut because even if Brody Grundy is potentially rested, which we'll discuss shortly. Unless Alex Sexton or Nathan Kruger come out to play, there's another fucking donut on the field if he covers with Luke Jackson. So, yeah, this it's carnage, Paddo. It's fucking carnage.
I mean, everyone's cooked their trades, so no one can fix it.
Yeah. Anyway, we will go on to injuries and suspensions now. So, if you do have trades, listen out. So, to start with the most talked about suspension, Dan Houston suspended for 5 weeks. Fuck off. Let's go.
Mr. Unreliable.
Yeah, no, the next guy is the one that he concussed. So Isaac Rankin concussed
just,
1 week.
Yeah, I just want to say, and this is so typical of Port Adelaide and their whole culture and attitude of their fans and their players and their ex-players. Isaac Rankin is Adelaide's best player, I think.
Oh, he was targeted 110% throughout that entire game. They were lining him up and shit, and Houston ended up doing the worst of it, so...
Adelaide had just hit the lead.
What was that?
And then Houston goes and knocks Isaac Rankin out, and then they end up running over Adelaide. They were going to lose that game. And I think it is absolutely insane that Dan Houston gets to finish this game to a Port Adelaide win, knowing full well that he's probably not going to play footy for the rest of the year. I don't hope Port Adelaide win the flag, but I kind of hope they do, so Dan Houston misses out on a flag.
No, I don't. I hope they don't.
I do too. I hope they don't too.
We'll move on. Brody Grundy's got some soreness. He looks a little bit cooked. We're hoping that he doesn't get rested. If Sydney were two games clear on top, I would have said, yeah, they'd rest him, but they're only 4 points ahead. They don't want to lose that top spot, Paddo.
Yeah, correct. So Grundy isn't on the official injury list. He just looks cooked. Yeah. There were even comments that alluded to him potentially getting the 2 weeks off before their final. I actually don't think they're going to get caught, Dano. They are 12% ahead of Port Adelaide, who play against Freo in Perth.
Yeah, okay.
And then the Giants are 15% behind, who play against the Raging Dogs.
Yeah, fair.
I can't see it happening. I think this is a safe game for Sydney. I think they've sewn up home finals until the MCG. If they get that far, they're certainly not the form team of the comp. I think they're fine.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah. We'll and they play Saturday night. So
we'll go on with Will Day. Shoulder. I think they were talking an AC joint when it happened in the game, got subbed out. Don't know
what's
going on. It was a collarbone. He went to hospital, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they were talking about Spider Everett when he had... They're calling it... What was it? It was a fucking... It was like a really rare... Like, a really rare injury to the collarbone. It's not a standard collarbone injury where basically he couldn't raise his arms or something for like 3-4 weeks.
Certainly was a nasty looking one.
Yeah. So, they're like, Do they go, okay, they don't play Will Day, then he gets another week off, then he misses potentially the first final, assuming that Hawthorn make it, and they'd need to win that in order for him to come back in the fourth week, like in 4 weeks' time. Like, that's what they're kind of faced with, and can they cover him in that time? It's kind of hectic. I reckon they can. I reckon they can cover him. John Newcomb's playing good enough. You can just slap Dylan Moore in the fucking midfield. Like, they can do it.
They've got plenty of midfielders.
Yeah, they'll just rotate the small forwards through there. They got fucking Ginnivan and shit that can go in there.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, these two. If you got both of these guys, that's shit luck. Harry Sheasel ruled out for round 24, and McGovern.
Dano, only one of them is shit luck. Someone has been warning people against getting Jeremy McGovern all season.
Yeah, true, but it's shit luck if you got both.
Well, yeah. But by picking Jeremy McGovern, you're bringing on yourself.
Yep, okay. Just like bringing in Timmy English.
Yep, never again. Never again.
Yeah.
Never again. Same with Ridley. Never again.
Imagine if you had Tim English, Brody Grundy, they both don't play. How shit would that be, Paddo?
Very. Come on, Livingston.
Livingston.
I wonder if he got more than two touches on the weekend in the Waffle.
Do you want me to
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, fuck. Live podcasting. Let's go. Let's go to the Waffle. And we want West Coast.
Well, they scored 21 points overall. Cohen Livingston had 6 disposals, 4 tackles, 4 hitouts, 2 inside 50s. He ain't not playing AFL.
Yeah, no. Barnett had a better game than him, and he also got 4 hitouts. And then it's Matty Flynn with 37 hitouts. So, yeah, no, he not playing.
Jack Hutchinson had 12 tackles. I kind of need him to play.
Anyway. We'll go through some trade-in options if you got some trades, and we're going to do this rapid-fire because fuck this week. Unless you're in grand final week, good on you. Defenders, trade-in. We'll start with Nick Newman. Feels like we've been a broken record with this bloke. 541K, 118 three-round average. Has St Kilda this week. Do we need to talk about him anymore, Paddo? We've flogged this dude for the past few weeks.
No, as a once-off fixture against St Kilda, I think it's absolute... no-brainer if you've got a trade and you need to bring in a defender for a McGovern or Sheasel type. So Newman is your guy, I think, number one option.
Isn't it? No, he's not playing the Saints. He's playing the Harlem Globetrotters, isn't he?
What?
According to Chris Scott, the Saints played like the Harlem Globetrotters at one stage.
I didn't know that. Referring to a Ross Lyon coach team as the Harlem Globetrotters is one of the most ridiculous things I've heard anyone say. And I've heard Chris Scott. Coach along for a long time. That's absurd.
He came out and said that they were playing like the Harlem Globetrotters at one stage.
Okay. There's nothing that Carlton Geelong could have done about that, right?
Apparently not.
Yeah, anyway. Coach Carlton team. Anyway.
Daniel Rioli of the Gold Coast Suns, 497K, 102 five-round average. He plays for Richmond, people. I'm joking. Well, not for much longer.
As a once-off against Gold Coast, so he could have a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Meant to be a ripper day on Saturday afternoon as well, heading to the game. So, yeah,
Do you reckon Dusty will retire then come out of retirement for Gold Coast?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, if he does, he has to wait 12 months.
Is that the rule?
You have to be retired for 12 months before playing for another, if you announce your retirement.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Would it shock me if Dustin Martin is named and he plays as the sub this weekend? No.
Yeah, I'd expect that.
I heard he trained last week.
Dimmer will give him a little cuddle when they'll do a little fucking guard of honour or some shit. Anyway, we're getting distracted, but that's okay. Jaden Short, 443K. He's playing Gold Coast. He played his best game probably for the season against Gold Coast, didn't he?
The one that sucked you in?
Yeah, buddy. Fucking Jaden Short. But yeah, he's got Gold Coast again, so.
Yeah, Gold Coast are very, very, they leak very high scores to halfbacks. So either one of Rioli and or Short could go big on the weekend on a 23-degree day at the G.
Ed Richards of the Western Bulldogs, 506K, 106 five-round average. Whoops. He got a 125 last game, but he is playing the Giants. He won't get tagged. I don't mind it, but yeah, if you've got a trade left, you'd want to maximize your value. And if this is the guy that you want to maximize your value for, go for it, I guess.
So, yeah, if you can't quite get to Newman... Richards or the next bloke are pretty good options. If you prefer going for a guy that's playing in a game that means more than a dead rubber, essentially. Ed Richards had 118 against the Giants in round 10. That was in Sydney.
Mm.
Playing that midfield role, it is a tougher midfield opponent, obviously, than the 125 from last week. He went 64 and 81 against Melbourne and Adelaide, but I just... feel like he's a nice option. Kicked a couple of goals on the weekend as well. So I think, did I imagine that? Anyway, I think Richards is a nice option.
Yeah, fair. We'll move on. So the other guy is Carl Lamont, 505K. He's got 117 three-round average. He's playing North Melbourne. His last three games, so round 21 against the Giants, he got a 131. Round 22 against Carlton, he got a 97. And round 23 against Richmond, he got a 123. He's kind of playing the way in which we expected him to play at the start of the year.
Yeah, so with a one-off matchup against North Melbourne, in good form, I'm getting a lot of the footy. Sicily's playing more lockdown and Amon is just doing what he pleases. Carl Amon... averages 100-plus at two venues in the country. One is Blundstone Arena down in Tasmania for a 117 in one game. But the other venue is University of Tasmania Stadium, Dano, where he's played eight times for an average of 102. And that is where this game is. I think Amon is a really nice once-off pick. In AFL fantasy, I am bringing in Carl Amon for a once-off smash and grab for this weekend.
Now, if you're really strapped for cash, Paddo, we have Geelong's Jack Bowes at 382, 383K. He did get a 105 last round, but he's the most bipolar fucking scorer this year, I swear to God. Listen to his last three games. 28, 77, 105. He's even scored a 146 this year, Paddo, and the two scores before his 146 were 36 and 32.
Yeah, the CBA is also go... basically up and down with that scoring. So he only had 12% CBAs on the weekend, but actually played half back, which is really nice. Inflation has hit hard. So if you are hit with inflation, Jack Bowes is a nice once-off option, I think, against the Eagles. Whether he plays midfield, whether he plays half back, I think could be a nice little spike score here if you're strapped for cash.
Now, I just want to let you know his last three scores against West Coast, and if this isn't bipolar, I don't know what is. So, the last time he played him was at Adelaide Oval, and he got 66 points, Supercoach points. Then the time before that, he was at Optus Stadium against West Coast and got a 146. And then the time before that, he played at People First Stadium when he was back at the Gold Coast Suns with a 99. So, bipolar as fuck.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll go to the midfielders and the bloke that I regret not bringing in and instead fucking brought in Zach Butters at the time, Adam Treloar, 654K, 144. He played Giants, the last time he played the Giants. Adam Treloar's just fucking freak this year and needs to be in the All-Australian team and scoring like an absolute motherfucking beast in Supercoach. And I just, all aboard the Treloar train if you can afford the fucker.
So his last two against the Giants have actually both been 144. Last year on Mars, he actually got that 144 score. So a nice little once-off option there. Be pretty keen to do well against one of his former teams.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Mind you, he's only had one sub-90 score this year.
Yeah, no one has him.
And it was against North Melbourne.
Of all teams.
Of all fucking teams.
They tagged him.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah, they had put Phillips on him.
That makes
sense. And Bont went massive, of course.
That makes sense. Next bloke, Jai Newcomb, 525K, 119 three-round average, 162 last week. He's got North this week. Again, a bloke that started the year off so shit. Would you say that his form reflects how Hawthorn are going, Pato?
No.
No?
I think his scoring reflects who they're playing. So he does well against the shit teams and doesn't do too well against the good teams with better midfields.
When did they start going on their run, Hawthorn?
Like round six, after they were 0-5.
Yep, that makes sense. So round six, 129. Then he went.
They lost to the Swans.
Yep, which was a 67. This is what I'm getting at.
Yep.
Did they beat Bulldogs?
Don't know.
No, he got a 95, 136, then Port Adelaide, he got a 68. It'd just be nice to know whether if he scores well, they win.
At the end of the day, round 23 last week, he dropped 162 against the Tigers in a big win. He plays North Melbourne this week. That will be a big win for Hawthorn. And I think he will score well. And as a once-off, averages 104 down at that stadium in 13 games. So there's a big sample size there, obviously, because he plays for Hawthorn.
Pato doesn't like it when I'm trying to prove a point.
Oh, we know the point.
Yeah, the point is when he's doing well, when the team's doing well, he's doing well.
129 against North Melbourne this year as well.
He should be good. Noah Anderson, this was the guy that we told everyone to trade in last week. 502K, 122 versus Richmond last time. Yeah, 104 average at the MCG. I'm surprised he hasn't jumped up by more. He was only like 490 something last week. This is get him in. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes 180.
Yeah, against the Tigers, 100%.
Yeah, he averages 137 against Richmond.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. We got Lachie Neal, 575K, 118 average, playing Essendon. Do they tag Pato?
I mean, they have, but they can't make finals, so surely they don't.
But would they want to win, just like to finish the season off, just have a nice win? So they tag.
Brad Scott's going to want to win.
No. Anyway. Another Gold Coast Sun, Matt Rowell, 475K. He got a fat as 137 against Richmond last time. Seems to be tracking all right.
Yeah, should do well this week against Tigers.
Bit of a POD one here, Pato.
Yes.
Jack Viney just signed a new deal. Was it 2 years?
Did he?
Yeah, just re-signed with Melbourne.
Didn't know that news. That's good. Put all the negative energy away. I mean, maybe he knows Petrarca and Oliver are going to go. Maybe he's a really big super coach option next year. I don't know.
Maybe he's cashing in. Anyway, he's 415K, 136 last round, and we've got no Petrarca, no Oliver. He's the bloke in the middle, and Collingwood don't give a fuck about a tag. So,
well, still saw bottoms actually tagged the last 2 weeks, but Lachie Neal had 123 against them, against that tag on the weekend.
Yeah, so Jack Viney locked in, might want to celebrate with a fat as 140 or something, let's see.
Yeah, he certainly got the capacity to. Weird 52 in round 13 this year. That was the game that Petrarca went down. But the two before that, he went 156 and 126 against the Magpies. So could be a nice big spike score for this week and a really good price point. Could be worth the risk.
Yeah. We'll go to the forward line. First one we have Jeremy Cameron, 432K, 88, three-round average. Doesn't really scream pick me with the three-round average there, but he is playing West Coast, and Geelong still need to secure, is it top four?
They still need to secure. They're not safe. They're 2 points ahead of Brisbane.
Yeah. So they need to secure it. They're up against West Coast. Man could kick like 6-7 goals. Never know.
And the rest, like, it feels like every year there's a key forward that goes nuts against a bottom four team and scores about 180 super coach. Was it Jesse Hogan last year? Or was it Kerno? Yeah.
No. Jesse Hogan went bananas in the last game against,
West Coast?
No.
No, I wasn't. It was Carlton. So
yeah,
last
Carlton.
year, round 24, he had 37 against Carlton, but he had 197 against Essendon in round 23.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one. Yeah, so one of them, yeah, pops off. And this could be Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, no McGovern. Bourass won't play. He could legitimately kick 12 goals.
Yeah, scary shit. Now, Paddo, fucking remember when I was
concerned. We've got to be careful not to turn this into a Brent Daniels circle jerk.
No, it was just, it's more so, oh, yeah, leave Kerno for a week, blah, blah, blah. That was me. Kerno sputtered. Brent Daniels went okay, but his price rise was just above what I could trade Kerno out from. And then Brent Daniels goes on for a 195 a week later. Anyway, he's 525K now, 125 three-round average. Got that 195 last week. We're going to, like, do a 2025 defender analysis, but I'll just say, I think I said that I'd consider him for next year. More and more I'm watching these games, more and more I'm considering Brent Daniels for next year. Because the forward line will be shit. But right now, I'm not... For 525K, if you could... Like, he's the most expensive one on our list. I would probably say the next bloke is the more must-have than Brent Daniels against Western Bulldogs.
No, the previous guy was, but...
The next guy is more of a must-have, and I'll explain why, than Brent Daniels for this last round. I reckon Daniels can still score well. But the next bloke will score better.
Did you know 101 people brought in Brent Daniels last week?
It should have been 102 if I had the cap space.
This could be a game where Daniels has to play a bit of midfield, and we know how well he does in there. So,
it's going to happen at some point. It will probably only be for, let's say, half a quarter to a quarter.
That'd be enough to score 100 points.
Oh, yeah. And this is what Kingsley's finally fucking switched in his brain, Paddo, that this motherfucker can play footy.
Yes.
And what would you, like, you got a bloke leading the AFL in goal assists. Tom Green said it best after one of the games. It wasn't Kingsley's idea. It was actually the other coach's idea to put Brent Daniels in that middle for that first thing because he was leading the AFL in the goal assist, and they said, well, if he's leading the AFL in the goal assist, why don't we have him feed it into the freaking forward line then? And it worked. So, yeah. Anyway, back to this list, because we don't want to Brent Daniels circle jerk. The bloke that I think, if you've got the cash to do it and you don't have him already, bring in Dylan Moore. 518K, 110, three-round average. You got a 139 last week, and he's playing North Melbourne. And Will Day is out, and I can see Dylan Moore playing that beautiful hybrid role between mid and forward. Well, we could see a 27 disposal, fucking 4-goal game.
See, I'm not so sure he will, Dano, because Will Day went out like it was a second or third CBA of the game, and Dylan Moore only got 19% CBAs for the game. Cam McKenzie got 44%. So he was the one that kind of got the uprise in CBAs. They could also bring in a midfielder. I'm not so sure that Moore will get the CBAs. He's too good up forward.
I think he'll get the 27 disposals and the 4 goals. Don't know. It's a very oddly specific amount of disposals.
I mean, he'll get that playing forward against North.
Yeah, I can just see it happening. So
yeah, yeah.
Little bit of a POD you listed down here, Paddo. Jack Gunston, 318K, got a 91 three-round average.
In just 633 teams.
Playing North Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
Dead-eye dick.
Yeah, just knows where to be. The thing is, he's been kind of playing on the intercept defenders, but also because they go to the ball, he ends up getting a lot of marks as a result. Or his player will float off and then he'll be the marking forward, the leading forward. He may not even play this week because North Melbourne don't have anyone worth essentially forward tagging.
The only thing is I reckon Jack Gunston will play because Hawthorn need the percentage boost.
They're not catching the Dogs.
You never know what the fuck could happen. The Giants might actually be able to play 4 quarters for a change, Paddo.
You brought jokes, don't know.
Fuck oath. They might finally be able to string 4 quarters together.
I think this will set up the most incredible elimination final we've ever seen.
So let's say Jesus Christ.
Both of these teams could win the flag based on form, and they could play each other in an elimination final.
The fact that the Western Bulldogs can miss finals is mind-boggling.
Yeah, they're not going to, but...
Well, yeah. Who do Carlton have?
St Kilda.
See, so
I'm back in the Harlem Globetrotters in there.
Carlton beat St Kilda, they go to 56 points. Hawthorn have North Melbourne, they go to 56 points. Fremantle, who the fuck do they play? Oh, they play Port Adelaide, but
Port Adelaide.
It's in Perth.
That's the very last game of the round.
Imagine the scenes. Fremantle beat Port in Perth. They go to 54 points and the Giants beat the Western Bulldogs and they finish ninth on 52.
No, because Carlton would drop out, not Bulldogs.
No, because I've said if Carlton win against the Harlem Globetrotters and Fremantle and Hawthorn both win, Bulldogs miss. Oh, nothing sweeter. Geelong missing would be better, but beggars can't be choosers. Anyway, moving on. Joe Danaher, 397K, 107 last week. He likes to play against his old team, Pato. What did he score last time?
147 last year.
Bit of a risky one, but Joe kind of likes to beat up on the Dons.
If you're strapped for cash.
Yep. Do you want to... Well, fuck it. We'll bring in the flat track bully, and Geelong fans won't like me saying that. Ollie Dempsey, 406K. All Pato wrote down is beats up on shit teams. And who's he got this week, Pato?
The second worst team in the comp.
West Coast Weagles. So, yeah, they're all of our different ones there. Do you want to talk about Ollie Dempsey or you're like, you're good?
No, I mean, it's a once-off risk. If you can get to Jeremy Cameron, he's the one in the forward line, but Dempsey could be a not bad plan B. You could even go with Stengel as well. I don't know what he's priced at, but could be another one that could get a bit of a spike score against the Kangas. But their small defenders aren't too bad. He might have a Luke McDonald for company.
Yeah. So, Pato, 2025 breakdown. We're now up to defenders. How fucking good.
Yes, this will be a fun line next year.
I feel like we've done defenders already. Have we not?
No, we haven't.
Shit times. Why can't we do it? Okay. So... Who would you be looking to lock in next year, Pato?
So let's firstly rule out players. So Sheasel probably loses defence status.
Yep.
Dacos probably does as well.
I think Nick Martin might now.
Nick Martin, I think, probably played enough defence to keep it.
Defence forward, potentially.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. That'd be handy. Hayden Young loses it for sure.
Yep, correct. Yep.
Ed Richards probably loses it as well.
Elliot Yeo loses it.
Yep. Holmes loses it.
Crisp will lose it.
Yep. But we do gain some defenders.
Do you reckon Ed Richards retains it?
No.
So you don't think he played enough defense?
He's played midfield from about round 7 onwards. It's too much. It's 17 weeks of midfield.
He only needs 30%.
Yeah, it's not going to be enough.
35%. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be enough. So Dane Zorko gains defense status.
Oh, you wouldn't.
He's an interesting conversation for next year.
Oh, how old's too old?
Wow. And at the halfback line, everyone went Jack Zeeble.
Yeah, true. But Jack Zeeble's not over the age of 35.
He wasn't his final year.
I wouldn't have touched him in his final year.
People did last year.
Oh, no.
The caveat with Zorko is, and probably someone that I am going to pick, and I've gone blank on his name, Coleman is back.
Oh, Kitty Coleman, yep.
Yeah, so he's probably must-have, provided he gets through preseason. He'll have a big discount. So he had the one game at 37 before he did his ACL this year. Pretty sure he got that 37 in about a quarter, Dano.
Yeah,
currently in 2,269 teams, which is interesting.
Go Ships.
Yeah, so I think he's a must-have at about probably 200, 220.
Yeah.
As a guess.
Colby McKercher, lock.
Yeah, unless he has foot issues in preseason.
Yeah.
But if there's any sense of foot problems, then no. Luke Ryan, Dano, do you pick him?
Nah. Tom Stewart, I would, though. Holy shit. Tom Stewart priced at an average of 99.7. Likely will go above 100, the 100 mark, but it'll be just scraping 100. I'd, in a heartbeat, Tom Stewart.
Yeah, he's fucked me the last 2 years. So here's one I'm locking in for next year, Dano, James Sicily.
Do you want to hear one?
With Tom Barras and Josh Battle going to to Hawthorn, allegedly. I think that frees Sicily up.
I've got someone that you picked this year, but then sold for next year. That's Matt Roberts.
Yeah.
Here's his form from round 18, Paddo. 95, 114, 161, 85, 92, 112 in his first full season.
Yeah.
He went back to that absolute slut role. And he's only going to get better. We already know how good of a footy player he was in his juniors, and he's finally had a run at it. And honestly, like, his five-round average is 112.8, mind you, slightly inflated with that 160. But at the same time, he's going to be priced at a 78.7 to an 80. So he'd be one I'd be looking at strongly in preseason just to see how he's going.
I like it. It just depends on how he compares to others in the same line. Now, I heard a name over the weekend who is trending for defense status next year.
Ooh, who is it?
And that is a teammate of Matt Roberts who returned from a lengthy injury this year.
Callum Mills. Yuck.
Could we go there as a defender?
Well, has he played enough in defense to get the status?
I've heard that he's on track, as long as he plays defense this week.
Oh, then yeah.
Like, so
couldn't ignore him.
Here's the thing.
I just don't like the fact that he's the utility man.
Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't 2 years ago when you started him and he averaged 120.
Yeah, because he was playing in the guts.
Yeah, but he was still the utility man.
If Horse wasn't coach, honestly.
So the problem, the thing is, they could lose Corey Warner. Who cares about losing him? Chad Warner. Which frees up midfield opportunity for Callum Mills, who would get, you would assume, a proper preseason to get midfield legs again. I think it'd be a consider.
Yeah. Just having a look at some other, you know.
Could you go with Dan Houston at Melbourne or somewhere?
Why the fuck would you want Dan Houston when he's going to miss the first two rounds next season?
What about Dan Rioli at Gold Coast?
Sorry. Just basically said Port are going to lose in straight sets.
With Hinkley at the helm, I wouldn't rule it out. Rioli at Gold Coast.
Nah.
Under 500K?
Nah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
Wangani Milera, is it his breakout year next year?
I'd probably still go with Jack Sinclair, to be honest, of the two.
See what St Kilda do.
Yeah.
I think the midfield group is interesting because Philippou plays midfield next year.
Oh, yeah.
Still, there's been rumours that they've tried to shop him, but he's there still. Paddy Dow, midfield. Zach Jones is probably on the way out. They probably draft another midfielder. Like, there may not be room in the midfield for Sinclair. And I think, yeah, if he's playing halfback, you lock him in.
Oh, I'm just trying to have a scroll and a look right now. Any potential...
At Lockie Ash, don't
I? I was just looking at him. I need to see cleaner ball use, Paddo.
Yeah, fair.
He screams AFL fantasy.
Yep.
I can see him starting to accumulate a lot of the ball, but just using,
If Perryman gets a move to a club that's going to give him midfield time.
Yeah, I rate. And Perryman is our utility bloke. He can play anywhere. He's Mr. Fix-It. That's literally his nickname. He is, 100%. I reckon you can chuck him at nearly any club and you can romping in the mids. It would not surprise me, actually, Paddo, and this would suck if Perryman went to Sydney.
Surely he doesn't do that to himself. And that would rule out Matt Roberts as an option as well.
Yeah, it'd be they lose Warner, they gain Perryman. Perryman's nowhere near as good as Warner, but you'd have two Mr. Fix-Its in the one team.
I got a real left field one for you, Dano, and I feel like he can have a similar season that McGovern had this year.
Ooh.
Minus the injuries.
Ooh.
So Richmond are losing Daniel Rioli, you would assume.
Yep.
Nick Vlosten.
Oh, no. No.
Or Jaden Short.
No. Oh, maybe. He'd need to... He'd need to
get his body
right. Yeah. I think his legs are fucked.
He's got through a lot of footy this year, which is promising.
The one that keeps screaming to be a breakout contender is Mitch Hinge.
He's had a good year. If Oliver and Petrarca go, I think Trent Rivers is almost a lock.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
You would assume he keeps defense status.
I'd avoid Zach Fisher. No.
What about Lawson Humphreys?
Nah. I think he's going to be that bloke in his third or fourth year. We'll be talking about him as a primo.
Maybe.
He's played his first year. So Lockie Weller is one. Oh, he's never really screamed primo either. Yeah, actually, I don't like the Lockie Weller one. No, we'll skip you. Honestly, if Jack Bowes could get his fucking body right.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll get the... He's played a lot of games this year, but a lot have been sub games. And I'll just keep going down, down, down. See, like fucking Wayne Malira, another one that he's fucking always injured. So, no.
I really hope he doesn't debut this weekend. And it would be such a Brad Scott thing to do. But Saad Al-Hawley...
Oh, mate.
...returned to the VFL last weekend.
And he slutted.
If he debuts this week and scores 90 and ruins himself as a rookie next year, that will not be good.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't. But everyone's screaming out to reward the VFL players, and I can...
Yeah, reward them in round one next year.
Setterfield, Sartas. I'm like, yeah, just don't do Al Hawley. Fuck you. Play him next year, motherfucker. Like, don't ruin it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Scrolling down further.
Yeah, there's nothing more.
I'm just trying to see if there's any, like, injuries and whatnot where we've got some did-not-plays all season.
No, there I looked.
Tom Doty?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
He was 380K this year. He'll be even
not coming off another ACL.
Down, down, down. Prices are down.
Prices are up. You've been shopping lately?
Yeah, I have. Fucking shit. Yeah, most of these are just right down the bottom. And then we see L. Hawley. Don't play. If you play, I'll cry. Any that will get defense status, I can't really think of them off the top of my head.
No. Besides, I think we've covered it.
Okay, yeah. Oh, what would happen with Flanders, actually?
I actually don't know where that sits.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I don't think he played enough defense to get defense status. So I feel like he's mid-only.
Fuck, that would suck. I'd love to see him as a defender slash mid or defender slash forward just to be really rare.
As that last DPP hurrah until the end of his career. Although, as a mid-only, I would consider it.
Well, you're going to be looking at other mid-onlys. So you got your fuck him, then you got...
Just expensive.
Dacos.
He'll be averaging about 120 on the year, so he's not going to be cheap.
Yeah, anyway. We're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. We hit it pretty fucking good last week. My VC was Zach Butters. My C was Connor Livingston. So this week we got Friday...
It's Collingwood.
Whatever. This week we got Friday night footy. Melbourne versus Collingwood at the MCG.
Yeah, it worries me a little bit. This screams Nick Dacos, but he was heavily tagged by Alex Neil-Bullen in the MND game.
I feel like Dacos is evolving again. He's going to win the Brownlow.
And no, he's not.
He pains me to say it.
He's not winning the Brownlow.
I've got him one vote ahead at the moment. One vote. And it's honestly, it sucks donkey dick because the one in second place is Patrick Cripps. And I don't want to see Cripps get another fucking Brownlow. I'd rather see Dacos get one and shut the Collingwood fans up for...
I think it's Bont or Butters.
Nah.
For the Brownlow. But I think Dacos is a pretty solid VC.
Honestly, Dacos will go rum rampant, get a three-vote game.
Yeah.
Seal that Brownlow. Yeah. I don't really want to say Gorn because he looks...
No.
Yeah. Imagine if they fucking rest Gorn. Oh, oh, move on. Saturday. West Coast versus... Geelong versus West Coast at GMHBA Stadium.
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, if I had Jeremy Cameron, I'd be chucking a cheeky VC on just for the lols.
Or C if you go with Dacos.
No, your C would be Livingston because Dacos will pop off.
True, true.
This is another thing, yeah. VC and C is going to be really fucking hard with your loop options unless you... Oh, no, you got...
No, it's not. Donuts galore, mate.
You know, they're...
Zach Reed, Harry Sheezel.
Oh, yeah, fucking Zach Reed. Forgot about that mofo.
Tim English.
Yeah, no, we're good. Okay. So, anyone else?
Billy Dowling.
Tom Stewart maybe in this one?
Stewart should do well as well.
Yeah, cool. Anyone else?
No.
No, okay. So, at 2:10 p.m., so not long after the Geelong West Coast game starts, is Richmond versus Gold Coast. They've really fucking scattered these games awkwardly.
Yeah, just to build the suspense of potentially certain teams needing to do certain things so people can watch every game.
Yeah, fuck.
I think they're hoping on Freo versus Port Adelaide to be the game that decides the eight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's three Sunday games. I think they're banking on everyone watching them just to see what happens.
Yeah. So I'll go back to this. So Richmond versus Gold Coast, Flanders, fucking Anderson is the one. If you have Noah Anderson, this is it.
Or Rao. The game. Rao. John, you can just drop 160 on Richmond, Anderson, and Rao is the same player.
Anderson 180.
Yeah.
Just, it's going to happen. He's just going to go off his tits. No one from Richmond because yuck.
God, no. Dan Rioli. No, don't. He'll score well, but don't see him.
Yeah, okay. 4:40 p.m. on the Saturday, Hawthorn versus North Melbourne. Snogovat Marrier Void or Tristan Cherry?
Yeah, Cherry is one that stands out just because he is absolutely just on heat at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't mind McKercher. You probably wouldn't captain him, though.
Ah, Cherry.
You could go with Dylan Moore with pretty good confidence, I think.
VC.
As a VC, yeah. I'm sure you've got a better option in the three games prior, but if you don't, yeah, I don't mind it.
Well, we're looking at a lot of people. Let's be real. A lot of people aren't going to be going for rank this weekend.
Well, if you're second, you're going for rank.
A lot of people, so we're not talking about the top fucking 10 here, but...
Yeah, it's all about, yeah, your Supercoach Grand Finals.
Yeah, it'll be all about them, and this is where your VC and C, you got to fucking change them up. Fucking, yeah, Tate copy the fuck out of me last week, the prick. just because he knew that the rest of his team was going to match whatever he matched with me. And that's this kind of tactics that you got to play. Sometimes you'll have to match. Sometimes you'll be like, nah, fuck, I really need to make up some ground, do some interesting VCs, and Dylan Moore could be the one. Might backfire in your face.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, Tristan Cherry owners, though, you'd be nuts not to do anything with him. Okay, this is where the games get a bit tight, Paddo. So the two games on the Saturday night, one's at 7:30 p.m., one's at 7:40 p.m.
I honestly think, you avoid the Sydney-Adelaide game. I mean, maybe a Heaney could pop off. I like both the Brisbane mids. Heaney dropped 141 against Adelaide this year.
Yeah.
I like Neil as he tries to get another three votes.
So this is a 7:30 p.m. game, Brisbane versus Essendon.
Yeah, and I like Dunkley as well.
Yep, and then the other game is a 7:40 p.m. game, Sydney versus Adelaide, which you said Heaney.
Heaney, yeah.
Yep. That's pretty much all I'd say for those two. I don't really like anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday, 12:30 p.m. on a Sunday, Paddo. Western Bulldogs versus
how good is it going to be?
US Giants out in the Rat.
Yep. Bontempelli in a potentially season-defining game.
Yep.
Hard to go past that. I think Tom Green could have a big one.
How risky are we feeling?
Lockie Whitfield, Adam Treloar.
Jesse Hogan.
I mean...
How risky are we feeling?
Wow.
Well, I said him last week because I'm like, fuck, his consecutive goals and shit's going off. What did he actually get? You got a 124 last week when I said to, what was it, VC or C him?
I just feel like he's already wrapped up the Coleman, so he's not going to be trying to farm goals. He's just going to be focused on the win because that's what they need, and he's like 14 goals ahead or something stupid. So
yeah, but he also at the same time wants to beat Jeremy Cameron's record. Yeah, he's equal the most goals in a season for a Giant. He's equal that of Jeremy Cameron.
Do you think he cares about that more than making finals?
I reckon it'll be a celebration for him because they're locked top four in. I reckon they'll still try and keep the momentum, but I reckon they'll feed him a few cheeky ones. Or they'll feed Cadman a few cheeky ones. Either way. Wouldn't surprise me if Jesse Hogan pops off. I'm actually intrigued to see what the fuck he scored against the Western Bulldogs last time. What did he? 114. Round 10 this year. There you go. Likes the doggies. Adam Treloar.
Yeah, next game.
Oh, Paddo's done. Okay, next game. Carlton versus St Kilda or the Harlem Globetrotters at 3:20 p.m. Yeah, 3:20 p.m.
So Nick Newman at Marble against the Saints is very juicy.
Patrick Cripps to try.
So got heavily tagged last time for a 66 against them. Sam Walsh has a really good history against St Kilda, but he doesn't have the form to warrant even thinking about captaincy, but could pop off.
Guess what? I reckon Sam Walsh is on my never again list.
Philippou?
No, Philippou was a captain after 2 weeks off with illness. Fuck.
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, I'd love it if you popped off.
I feel like Steele becomes accountable against Cripps this week.
What about Rowan Marshall?
Yeah, don't mind it. If he plays.
We haven't spoken about Jack Sinclair yet, have we?
Not yet.
Yeah. Marshall and Sinclair from St Kilda for me.
So Sinclair was my VC for 86, which was very frustrating.
Anyone else?
No.
Last game, 6:10 p.m. Frio versus Port Adelaide off the stadium.
I honestly think you don't touch this game. I think you just sit down, watch hopefully a game that will decide makings of the top eight. I don't think, I mean, maybe a Butters, I guess Butters in a important game. 130 against them this
Andrew,
year.
And that's Andrew five. Brayshaw.
Brayshaw's in great form.
And he has a really good history against Port Adelaide. His lowest being in his last 311.
Nice.
Which was this year. And then you look at his form and you go 128, 100, 137, 137, 137, 77, 147.
If he's the sole ruck, Luke Jackson's a nice option, but...
Oh, yeah, true. I reckon you're right. Just watch it and see how the fucking... Have a drinking game on a Sunday night. How many times that live ladder updates, you got to take a shot. You'll be fucking on the ground by quarter time.
Jesus.
Anyway, Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at PATTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to be doing a finals potty or not, Paddo. Haven't really decided yet. Might do one, maybe.
Like a season wrap-up and a finals preview, maybe?
Yeah, crown like the fucking the group winner and shit like that.
Yeah.
Might get on a cheeky guest or two. Never know.
See what we can muster up.
Yeah, we'll see what we can muster up. Anyway, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing...
The fuck off. FPL season, baby.